An audio engineer knows which gear there is.
You need to run your source through the DNS 1500 first.
This always did feel like one of those shows that would go for a while.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
And away we KGO go.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about
we're going to talk about sex. We're going to Drex sex you up, okay? And let's say good evening to, it's Emily Morse. Good evening, Emily. Thank you for joining
me. Good evening. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Doctor. It's so much fun. Oh, everybody's been waiting for you to come on. Oh, John.
Oh, my God.
We have John Libertini and Brian Pelletier from the KGO Newsroom in here, and everybody's listening. And you know,
oh, well, hello. I love to draw a crowd there. And that's my town. You know, I was there for 20 years. I just moved to L.A., so.
Well, you know, Emily, we work late.
KGO has a soft spot in my heart.
Very nice. Well, you know, we work late, and so when it comes time to listen to stuff on the way home, what is the most fun usually is Loveline, and you've been a more frequent contributor, so I think we've come to know your work well.
Oh, well then, you know, let's just do, hey, you got any questions for me? I'm here. I'm here for you as long as you need me.
Well, I'm very Drexcited, to say the least. So let's get right to the naughtiness that I want to know about, and I'm so excited because it was announced today that Pornhub is putting out the virtual reality porn.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah,
so bring it on, the Oculus Rift and the Google Cardboard.
Right, exactly. And it's that's going to change everything.
It certainly is, yes.
Right. Like, you think that people are watching a lot of porn now and they're not, you know, meeting people and learning how to interact and leaving their homes? Just wait till this happens.
I know. And everybody that I've spoken to who has seen it or things that I've read online is it's a whole new ball game.
Oh, yeah. Because right now there actually is a lot of concern. You probably hear this, you know, I am on Loveline. We talk about it a lot about porn, whether or not you believe that porn is an addiction. I can tell you that porn has had such a significant impact on the way, you know, people learn about sex, especially young people. It's the first thing that they see is porn, and it's not, you know, it serves its purposes, but it's not the best place to learn about sex, to understand it. And then it also is not very, you know, the most social thing for a lot of young men, let's say. And now virtual reality, it's like, they don't even have to talk.
And away with the phone again. What is happening to our phones? Keep zapping my guest right in the middle of Oculus Rift. Are you kidding?
That sounds kind of dangerous.
I know, right?
You know what you need to do is we need to ask Emily about her sex toys.
Oh, well, we will.
She's got, well, so she says, I've heard on the radio, that she's got.
I was going to say, how do you know so much about her sex toys?
Because we listen on the way home. Yes, that's how.
Oh, Emily, are you there?
Okay. My God. Those were the KGO radio gods zapping us.
Yeah,
okay,
stopping
let's
and preventing us from.
Right, from talking about sex. I don't know what that was, Emily. That was like.
I know. It dropped, and it's never happened where I'm at. But,
jeez.
You know,
all right. Well,
I know. They don't want us to talk about sex. So
we're going to anyway. That's what I'm
we
here
have
for.
We have to. That's everyone, you know. Come on, let's be honest.
Yeah. So I want to get to the sexual addiction thing. So I had a doctor on last week who said, you know what? It really is not an addiction. So let's remove it from the mental health category because it is not a mental illness.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if you call it an addiction, it's anything that's going to have, you know, consequences in your life. And so it's usually a symptom of another kind of issue, of a mental issue. So it doesn't matter, you know, how people want to classify it. You still have to treat it in the same way. And if it's, you know, having, you know, you can't keep your job, you're losing relationships, you don't have your social skills, there's a problem. Call it what you want, you know, and if it's related to porn, you know, you got to deal with that.
It's going to get in the way. Right. Just like anything else. Right. You know, your little problems.
Right. Exactly. But. I mean, that's usually say an addiction, like it's a sex addiction, porn addiction. Again, if there's consequences in your life. And so, like, you know, if you drink too much and, you know, like, are there problems? A lot of people are having problems with it. So now, you know, people, it's also affecting the way people are relating to their partners, you know, not even like an addiction, but just the way, you know, people see sex and have sex now is just very different because they're satisfied in other ways and just keeps raising the bar of what sex is.
You know what? And let me run this by since we're talking about studies. It was a few weeks ago. What was the demo? It was 38% of men masturbate at work. So that's a dirty
I missed that story,
yeah.
Pal.
Okay. So you see, Emily, we're on to something. Dr. Emily Morse is my guest. Yes. And everybody was, oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, I would think it'd be more, but no.
No, was the demo 18 to 34, or was it 18-49, something
know.
Like that?
You know, I'm trying to think what the demo. There was a bunch of other things interesting. I saw that study. There was a bunch of other things in it about porn watching and that women don't masturbate at work as much, but women masturbate almost every day, which I thought was very interesting.
That is interesting.
Related to men in that same study. But I don't know what the demo was, but I would, you know what? I would say that it was expansive. I would say it was probably 18 to like 45.
Okay, now the whole control room.
18 to 40.
Yes. So next time you go to the restroom, keep that in mind.
Bring extra wipes, I guess.
Again, in my office building, just carry around the wet wipes, you know?
Well, I had to think back when I was younger to that demographic. Okay, I was thinking, well, maybe, yeah, all right, well, yeah.
Well, I don't know. No, really. I mean, I don't think, I don't know. You guys know, men think about it. But you think you just wait till you go home. At least go and get in your car. Does that count at work if you're in the garage at work? Anyway.
I don't know. That sounds more dangerous.
Well, when you're young and that thing goes north, you have to take care of it.
No one's getting anything done. They're on Facebook or they're masturbating in the bathroom. That's what happens to the workforce today.
Welcome to America. Yes, 2016.
Exactly.
Yeah. 808-0810 is the number if you have a question or you have a comment for Dr. Emily Morse about sex and relationships. She's here. And since the studio is full of people, I will ask everyone to ask a sexy question. Question.
I love this.
Carolyn.
So fun.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you can look. Everybody comes in.
Carolyn is our resident 20-something young woman in the newsroom tonight.
Okay.
Come on, Carolyn.
You're a lady.
She's a lady,
so
she
what?
Says.
Turn on your microphone.
Come on.
Yes.
Emily, explain to her that sex is not dirty.
Oh, it's not dirty. No, I mean, only if you want it to be. It's a choice.
Yeah.
Dwayne, you can ask a question.
Let me tell you something.
Well, everyone wants you to come up with a question.
Everybody has questions about sex. They do. Whether they know it or not, and they just don't have often enough safe places to ask it. And we can talk
this
right now.
This is safe. 808, yes, 808-0810. And let me tell you, mine was about Oculus Rift and all things virtual reality sex. I just can't wait. It's a good reason for me to go buy a Galaxy 7. Okay.
Exactly.
Dwayne, your question.
Okay, so a lot of people have issues with role-playing when it comes to sex. Do you have any pointers on that?
Love that.
Yeah, that's a great question. You mean they have issues with, you mean as far as like they don't know how to start it with their partner and they're not sure?
Yeah, with feeling awkward and getting into character.
It's funny. No, absolutely. Okay, because everyone thinks, God, you know, he's going to laugh. You know, he knows that I'm not really a nurse and, you know, who really is a French maid anyway? Does that stuff work? But here's the thing about it, is that anytime you switch something up in the bedroom, right, and that's what role-playing is, you can keep your sex life, you know, fresh and exciting, and which is part of maintaining, like, a healthy relationship. So the thing about role-playing is that, the thing about role-playing is that, you know, it can be, there's different ways you can do it. So you can play a role, and you can be like, you know, hello, doctor, I think I need an oral exam. But if you don't want to create, like, a whole new sexy character, you can just play, you know, a role yourself. Like, you just play yourself and just, you know, make a few changes. Like, you could be, like, a sexy stranger, so you could pretend that you don't know each other. And you can go to a bar one night. Really, like, if you're in a long-term relationship, pretend it's your first date and you don't know each other, and you walk up and you offer to buy, you know, your partner a drink, and you have that getting-to-know-each-other conversation again.
All right.
It's like you're strangers in a bar.
I love it. Yes, Emily was voted the number one dating and sex expert, datingadvice.com, and let me see here. And by the way, the name of your book, I love it, Hot Sex, Over 200 Things You Can Try Tonight. And we'll discuss some of those coming up. All right, let's take a break and we'll continue with Dr. Emily Morse. 808-0810 is the number to ask your sex or relationship question as we continue on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
A Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Yes.
Yes, we're Drex sexing you up tonight on the Drex Radio Show, live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGORadio.com with Dr. Emily Morse. That's right.
Hello.
We're back, and we're talking about all things sex and relationships. 808-0810 is the number. Don't be scared, because it's all good.
Yes. I've got a question. Yes. Is a single woman still there in the studio?
Yes, Carolyn, and she does have a question now. Carolyn, because
I want to know, I'll be the question, but I also am so curious, after living in San Francisco for so many years and dating a lot, it feels like the city has changed so much in the 3 years I moved. I want to know from you, and also I'd love to hear from listeners, like, what is it like dating in San Francisco right now? How are people dating? Are they dating online? Like, because when I was there, no one ever asked you out on a date. I swear to God. I mean, I just want to know, Carolyn, what's going on with you?
Well, I'm not single. I'm actually living with someone.
Okay.
But I do have a lot of friends who the main thing they do is they date online. They do Tinder, like the free sites.
Right.
That's not like a weird thing anymore.
No.
It used
not
to
at
be.
All. No, everybody
and, like,
does.
Everybody
it's weird
does
if you're not.
Yeah, it's right. really weird it's if you don't. So,
and it seems right, like, OkCupid's really big here in the city, too.
Yeah, OkCupid is still big for people who want a relationship,
right.
I think, they
who
say.
Are looking for a
and then Bumble's the big one now, the
right.
big app where women, it's like the Sadie Hawkins of all apps, where women are making, have to make the first move. Like, women have to connect with the guy. But, so it's an interesting world. Yeah, you don't have to leave their house to date either or have sex.
Okay,
so.
Carolyn, ask your sex question.
Oh, I've got a hypothetical question. This is very, very hypothetical.
Okay.
If I
had a riding crop and...
What would you do, hypothetically, if you were dating somebody and you found your boyfriend had a drawer of sex toys and there was a vibrator in it? This did not happen to me. I'm just saying. This
okay. Oh, no, I've heard it. See, they were just dating casually or...
Either. Like, how do you react?
Well, I think that you react. I mean, they're probably toys that were left there from his ex-girlfriend or someone he's currently dating. Like, that's why I asked if they're in a relationship.
Oh.
So they're probably, yeah, I'm sure they are. Because most guys I know, and believe me, like, most women I know own a sex toy. More, half of all Americans own a sex toy and have used it with their partner. However, men typically are not buying them and leaving them, you know, some may, you know, for their own use. But mostly it's from a girlfriend who left them there or they use them together. And I've also, so that's what I think it is.
Yeah, well, what if it's his, though?
Right. I mean,
no, if he has anal, listen to me, he could have his own vibrators, he could have like a masturbate, like a fleshlight or like a prostate toy. But if he has a drawer, when you said drawer full, if you said he has one toy, then I'd say, okay, that's interesting. Yeah, a lot of guys like toys. But if you said he had a drawer full of vibrators, I'm thinking another girl. Then I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming you're saying it's your girlfriend dating him. So, yeah.
Okay. But I was, you know, that begs to ask the question whether all that Amber Rose and Kanye West silliness that was going on, and Amber Rose was alleging, well, that finger
right.
up the butt stuff, and he wasn't having that. Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing. I mean, here's the thing about that. There's not one sex act that is going to make it going to decide your sexual orientation if you're gay or not, right? Not a sex act. If you have, you know, if you like something that, unless you have it with a man, you're with another man, then it does. But if you like to have these, you know, penetrated, you have your prostate played with. For a lot of men, they call it the male P spot, the male G spot, and a lot of men experience gay, straight, they experience pleasure there, immense pleasure. Some men say it's the most amazing thing ever, and you can explore there in a safe way, and a lot of guys like that. A lot of guys think it's, you know, would never want to venture there because they think that will make them gay or, you know, it would hurt or, you know, and it could be all that. It's not every sex act is for everyone, but Kanye West, I don't know, I wasn't there, but I don't think it's, you know, who knows what Kanye is into, but I remember the whole fight and I don't know why he, you know, to him it was
know.
An insult, I guess, and to her it was an insult. I get it because this is not, most people don't think about this. This is still kind of new territory for a lot of people, but just since I study it that, you know, again, a lot of men, you know, and I understand it, that it's social norm, societal norms. It's not about, you know, men doing anything, you know, unless you're gay. And so but the truth is there's, you know, a lot of pleasure to be had. And a lot of men I know say it's changed, you know, their entire sexual experience. As women, we have so many different ways to experience pleasure. Why not, you know, men try it, see if you like it.
I saw on Radar Online today, and this is pretty cool because this goes back in the day. It was Elvis Presley hot for Bruce Jenner. A source said Linda Thompson was married to Bruce from 1981
right.
to 85. But before that, she dated Elvis. And she says in this book, she said, you know, her and Elvis were in bed together watching Bruce compete in the 1976 Olympics. And he said, damn, if that guy's really handsome, I'm not gay, but damn, he's really good looking. And so, you know, it's like, oh, my goodness. Well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you saw it right. They saw it coming. I don't know. I didn't hear that.
Well, I just think the whole thing that, you know, it's just like one thing does not point to one sexuality. For instance, Elvis said that, you know, Bruce Jenner's really hot. I'm not gay, right. But he's really handsome.
Right. What's wrong with that?
Right. It's just like right. a straight woman looking at another woman and saying,
exactly.
Well, she's very pretty.
Exactly. It's the same thing. Like, there should be no judgment, but we're such a homophobic culture. You know, we really are in so many ways, and that people just express it. It's like, I think in San Francisco, I don't know. I live there for so, and you don't know, I guess it depends what world you live in. We're lucky we live in California, but still, there's a lot of that out there and a lot of, you know, misunderstandings about it. So,
okay. Let's talk about some twisted love triangles.
Okay.
Yes. So, yeah.
Let's
How healthy
is it going on there in the office?
Well, I don't know if it is. No, it's not here at night because...
Anybody sleeping? Okay, I was wondering if anyone there is sleeping with each other. That'd be fun.
No, unfortunately, I haven't been here long enough, but, you know, there's always time. Yeah.
I don't think that's happening.
Yeah,
not on this floor, anyway.
I thought you guys were having a good time. Okay, that's fine.
No, we're having a good time.
It's probably better not to fish off the company pier.
That's absolutely
right,
true.
But it's true that most people do hook up with coworkers.
What's the statute of limitations
absolutely.
On that? Is there a statute of limitations on that?
Limitations on how when you work with someone.
No, here, having a relationship with someone you work with, is there a statute of limitations on that?
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Yeah. I mean, I think that it's having sex with someone that you work with, it makes sense. We spend more time at work these days than we often with our families. So you're going to meet someone. It makes a lot of sense that you'll meet someone you work with. Now, you got to make sure they're not like your boss, your superior. And if there's any rules in your company or any, you know, company policies you're not supposed to, I wouldn't do it. But it's tricky because, you know, you still got to see the person every day at the, you know, the water
okay.
cooler.
Okay. Guilty, not guilty.
Even if it doesn't
right.
work out.
Yeah.
Well, your statute of limitations, you're saying you did date someone like 10 years ago there. I don't know.
Well, no, it would have been within the time frame that I've been here. With
oh, my God. I certainly hooked up with other people that worked at the station.
Right.
My God, yes.
Fun.
For sure. I mean,
yeah, you get
you
to
know.
See them every day. You care. You actually care what you look like when you go to work. You get to sneak around. It's fun.
Well, it's really fun. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, when you see somebody that you find attractive at work, it becomes your secret little mission if you're single.
Exactly.
Yes,
that's
let's not play games
about.
Here.
Right.
Right. So, and I remember having lots of fun making it my secret little mission.
Yeah, exactly. When I
Until my dream came true.
So
there.
Did it come true?
Yes, it did.
Oh, good. I love when that happens.
Yes.
I dated someone. I worked for Willie Brown when he was mayor of San Francisco on his campaign, and I had a boyfriend during that campaign.
Oh, you
in
did?
In San Francisco. And we stuck around.
Look at you.
And how were your interactions with the mayor?
With Gavin Newsom?
I worked for him for, I worked for Willie Brown.
Oh, okay.
I worked at his campaign. I worked in politics for 10 years in San Francisco. So if you wanted to go that way, we could too. But I like talking about the prostate.
Wow, that took a left turn, but you're in the right city.
I know. Hey,
no, right on.
No, but I worked for Barbara Boxer, then Willie Brown on his first campaign for mayor. Then I worked for his administration. And then I directed a film about Willie Brown called See How They Run. But Willie Brown is amazing. I mean, he's a brilliant politician. That's what I can tell you. He's one of the most brilliant men I've met, and I've seen him work in the way his mind works. He's very smart.
Yes, he is.
All right, we're going to take a break because now John Libertini has to go do the news, and then he can come back and ask a sex question. All right. Dr. Emily Morse is my guest, and she is the author. What is the name of your book here?
It's called Hot Sex, Over 200 Things You Can Try Tonight.
Oh, well.
And you can get it on Amazon or go to sexwithemily.com. My website, I've got a podcast called Sex with Emily, and actually it's number 6 in iTunes this week out of every
podcast. I know. Yes, you're on fire, girl. I love it.
I know. And so I was going to say, go to my website, subscribe to the podcast, get the book. It's like $12 at Amazon. And here's the thing about my book. It's a lot of pictures, but they're really like pretty, like we took photographs of people having sex, and we have this amazing animator draw over them. And it's very, it's for, something for everyone. You can open it to any page and learn something new to do that night. You don't have to do all 200 things in a night because that's just one night. But you can just open it to any page and just say, let's try that. And there's just like different positions and suggestions. And a lot of my friends, listeners I know bought it. They just say they leave it out, you know, by their nightstand. They'll just open it one day just to kind of like spice things up and come up with a new idea.
All right, Dr. Emily Morse.
It's not crazy Kama
Sutra.
Okay,
you know? Hang on. We'll be right back. We've got to go to John Libertini in the KGO newsroom. Sex is on fire and the Drex Radio Show on fire tonight, as it is every weeknight on KGOA 10, and especially tonight with Dr. Emily Morse, our sex and relationship expert, and she is the number one sexpert on Twitter and has proven, well, all things to go to for sex and relationship talk. 808-0810 is the number if you have any questions or comments. Hot Sex, Over 200 Things You Can Try Tonight is the name of her book. And, you know, one thing that I wanted to ask you, Dr. Emily Morse, is, yeah, let's talk about sugar daddies. Because, interestingly enough, back to my intern who goes to San Francisco State, they have put out this site and, you know, they're talking about it to the public, where the students are looking for sugar daddies here in the Bay Area. Yeah. And of course, and what I like about it is they're actually being honest. I mean, there is quid pro quo here. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. No, they, the students are being honest.
Yes.
They're looking for it.
Yes. They're looking
the
for sugar daddies.
Sugar daddies are not, you know, posting on Facebook. Right.
No.
But the girls are like, yeah, I'm sure it's great. Right. Exactly. It has become, you know, it's become a whole enterprise now. It's become a second major. A lot of young women in college now are looking. There's like websites catering to it, and they're like, okay, you know, I have to date you or go out with you once a month, and you'll pay my rent. Great, you know. So, I guess it, you know, so it is. It has become a lot bigger movement since, you know, the internet, you know, since people started doing this online. I remember like 5 years ago having the founder of like the Sugar Daddy site online, or Sugar Babies, Sugar Daddy site on, and it was just starting then. And yeah, I mean, you could think it upsets me. Like it does in a way. Cause like I was a waitress and it upsets me on two levels. I was a waitress. I probably would've made a lot more money, right, having a sugar daddy. But I also, you know, I'm not sure, you know, how safe it is, the message it sends, but you know, you can also, I guess, choose to.
Well, the haters, you know, the haters were saying it's prostitution. And then the other people, the haters were saying it's old balls. What are you doing? You know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is, you know, in a sense it's prostitution. But a lot of people say, you know, they say you're not having sex. A lot of them say, you know, we're just keeping them company. We're just, you know, we're having dinner. We have, take them to a movie, we go to movies once a week, you know, but we all know what's going on and I'm not sure why, but it's just like the cheating. Well, I guess that's not the same thing. Yeah. I mean, that's no money. There's so many sites like this now. They're just not cracking down on them.
Well, okay, but are you cool with it? Because, I mean, because the expectation is out there. And what I like about what San Francisco State and the students have done is they know what the expectation is. I mean, you know, I mean, if I'm going to buy you lots of gifts and take you to Louis Vuitton and this, that, and the other.
Drex, I think you're giving those college kids too much credit. I don't think they know what they're in for. I don't think that they know what's
out there. Okay, well, let's let her answer. Yeah, what do you think?
Well, that's the thing. I think that they're really young and impressionable, and I think that you don't know. It sounds like, oh, this is really easy, but I don't think it's really – it could be damaging for, you know, their future relationships, or whether now, you know, if they're seeing somebody or they want to have a healthy relationship with someone their own age, you know, how do you sneak around? I mean, a lot of kids are not going to be comfortable.
Right. That could be weird.
College students are be comfortable. Yeah. And so then you're not telling your boyfriend and you're sneaking around. So, and you're probably not telling your parents, you know, how you got the new car when you come home for Christmas. So, you know, I think that there's,
yes, that would be
you know what I mean? Right, so I just do think that like ethically, you know, I think that there is a problem with it. But it's just like, you know, a lot of young girls going into porn these days or having camps. You know, it's everywhere. There's sex is, you know, people are looking at it as an alternative way to pay our bills. Kim Kardashian sex tape. I mean, there's so many things now that have, you know, spawned from these ideas, right?
For sure.
Not
okay.
At the real job. I can just go out with somebody and, you know, become famous or get, you know, my rent paid and my tuition paid.
Well, things are very expensive here in San Francisco in the Bay Area.
Well,
so,
that's
I mean,
the
you
thing.
Know,
I mean, pardon me. And then on the other hand, you know, I think, gosh, that would have been nice. I'm kidding.
Okay. So let me see.
Well, but you did do that, Emily. You were in politics for 10 years.
I did, right? God, I should have gotten paid better for what I didn't know.
if you only knew then what you know now.
Exactly.
Right. So what are some of the signs that you should quit with your, you know, when you think it's toast with your partner when it's not happening sexually?
Oh, I'm sorry. When do I think that you should break up with someone because things aren't good sexually?
Yep.
Oh, well, that I wouldn't necessarily say that you should break up. I would say that you have to communicate with your partner about what's going on in the bedroom, because just because you're having bad sex or the sex life is waning doesn't mean you can't fix it. I always talk about operation communication. Something I talk about on my show is that, you know, it's my mission to make it easier for couples to talk about sex and relationships, because most people in relationships find it extremely uncomfortable to talk about their wants and their needs. I mean, they'll spend hours talking about their 401k and, you know, what color to paint the wall, but when it comes to sex, they can't talk about it. And so, therefore, if you're already at the point of breaking up with somebody because there's a sex problem, I'd say, like, let's back up and see if it's something that, you know, you can learn to deal with and to talk about and to work on it together, because bad sex doesn't have to remain, you know, a deal breaker.
Get a few cocktails in you, then loosen up. I mean, you know, but there, I have to tell you, I've had partners that have had problems with that. You know, they, well, we're not going to talk about this when you're drunk. This, you know, or that oh. sort of thing. Yeah. But I mean, that's when those sort of issues, I don't know, that's when everybody loosens up. It's the social lubricant.
No, you're right. It's yes. the social lubricant. And that's also when you want to have sex and then they want to like numb. You also want to numb. So you're not having any real conversations. When you're drunk, but it's true that, like, if there's something that you want, I mean, it's the elephant in the room. You both know that there's an issue happening, right?
Right.
Like, that, you know, someone's not pleasing the other one, lasting long enough, you know, not having the orgasms, whatever the issue is, you guys know, but you don't want to talk about it. So it just takes that. It's like ripping a Band-Aid off, you know? And to think, you know what? And the best time to have these talks are not in the bedroom. In fact, I always say, have it. You know, at breakfast the next day. Have it when you're on a road trip, because this way you're in the car, you're sitting next to each other, but you don't actually have to make eye contact.
Or when you're at dinner, because no one can escape when you're at dinner. Yes.
Right, or at dinner. But I'm saying these are difficult conversations. I'm giving you options, but don't do it in the bedroom. That is the worst time to talk about it, because you're all charged up, and you're in the moment, and no one's going to hear what anyone's saying. But afterwards, if it's on your mind and you can say, this is really hard, but I've been wanting to talk about, you know, this is something that I desire or that I need, or what do you think about this? Let's discuss it. You know, and it really like, and you don't want it to be like, this is a talk, let's talk and make it heavy. You really want to keep it, your tone light, and you want to see how can we work on this. Or you dump them if you've already done that.
Then that would, yeah.
You should break up with them.
Right. Which could bring us
and
around.
They didn't change, I mean, and they didn't change. I'm sorry, what?
I said, which could bring us around here in the next segment to ex-sex.
Oh, ex-sex. That's
yes,
the best.
Yes, ex-sex. Yeah, for sure. Yes, let's chat about that in a minute. We're talking with Dr. Emily Morse, sex and relationship expert. 808-0810 is the number. We'll continue in a minute on KGO 810. Well, this is the number one song to play. I don't know, this came out years ago, but I mean, we know that. Yes, Dirty Dancing. But I'm just telling you to play during sex.
Yeah.
According to some survey.
No.
I don't know. No, I don't think so.
Survey that if you play, people who play more music in the home, they say, are more likely to want to have sex and to have sex.
All right, we're speaking with Dr. Emily Morse, all things sex. Yes, hot sex, over 200 things you can try tonight is her book. 808-0810 is the number. Carolyn, you have another question.
Oh, yeah. So my best friend has been dating a guy for almost 2 years, and he is best friends with his ex-girlfriend, who it wasn't just like they dated briefly. Like, they were actually in a serious relationship, and they hang out all the time, and they're best friends. Is that weird, or is that a deal breaker for a lot of people?
You know what? I don't think. Here's the thing. It's kind of a joke on my show. Like, my co-host Menace always like, I'm like really good friends with a lot of my exes. Like, I've gone on vacations with them and their new girlfriends and my boyfriends, or I'm just friends with them. A lot of them, not all of them. Okay, some blocked me on Facebook, but no, I am. So here's the thing. If they're healthy and they're in a good place, I mean, the thing is, like, does she trust him? Like, he should be bringing – now, if it's something clandestine, he's going out with her and not inviting his girlfriend. If she has any reason to worry at all, you know, yes, if there's been signs. But if they truly are friends and, you know, he includes her in on that friendship, then I don't think it's a deal breaker. But if he's secretive and lies about it and she still thinks, you know, she can tell he still has a crush on her, then that's a deal breaker. So I don't know. But I do think you can be friends with your ex. And typically it's when one of you have moved on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but then it's, I don't know. I think the slippery slope is, I hate to go back to alcohol, but if you socialize with these people a lot, I mean, you could, old habits die hard.
Okay, you would know what it sounds like.
Right, yes.
No, I totally get it. No, yeah. I know what you're saying. Well, how old is your friend, too? It's also, how old is she?
Carolyn. She's 24.
Oh, okay. No,
does that change your answer?
Would change my answer.
It does. The alcohol, the thing. I'm like, wait a minute, let me put this piece of it. I'm thinking about, you know, they've been together, his ex-girlfriend, and he's this new girl 2 years. I mean, who knows? In your 20s, you shouldn't be in a really serious relationship anyway. You should just be having fun. So I think that if she's concerned, she should talk to him about it, get to the bottom of it, make him be honest. And if she can't handle it and there's something sneaky there, she thinks there's something going on, there probably is.
Okay. I know a lot of people in our audience probably schedule sex, but you say that people should schedule hot sex.
Yes. Schedule hot sex.
Specific? Are you telling people to be specific about it?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Even better if you're specific. Even better if you're like, guess what I want to do? I can't wait to blindfold you tie you up on Saturday night. Because here's the thing. So many couples get busy. You know, they have kids, they both work really hard, whatever it is, and they don't have time for sex. And then one person is making them, you know, the advancements, and they're getting shot down, and there's a cycle of rejection. So if you say, you know what, every Saturday night, or, you know, we're going to have it on our schedule, we're having sex, then you know it's going to happen. You have it planned, and you can start thinking about it and talking about it. There's sort of like a verbal foreplay that can happen before Saturday, building up to it, where you're sexting or texting, or this would be really fun Saturday night, and you plan a special sex night. You know, one great sex night is better than a bunch of refusals throughout the week.
Now, when you go out with someone and you meet them at a club or wherever you're at, you take them home and you hook up.
Yes, when I do.
And I would, because I always like to get those things out of the way, because I think that sex is very important to a part of one's life. So why not get right to it and then see if you're compatible? Or would you disagree with that?
Oh, would I disagree with having sex right away?
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. I don't have any hard and fast rules. Like, you have to wait 3 months. You know, you have to wait until you're committed.
Three days, three hours,
three cocktails. I don't believe in any rules. If it feels right and, you know, you make that choice, you know, we're all adults as long as it was consensual. However, a lot of times a lot of people have sex too soon when they first meet someone, and they often get attached, right? Because when you, and women, we get attached, the orgasms, the oxytocin gets released, we get attached prematurely to the sex sometimes. And we don't even know this person. You know, we just think that we just think about the sex because we get to know. So I think that you should weigh the balance between, you know, like, let me get to know a little bit more about this person. You'll never lose from waiting a few extra days.
Well,
a lot of people say, but I met my husband. We slept together the first night. We've been together 30 years. That's great. You know, that it worked. It's not like it's a deal breaker. But if you're not in a rush, why not? Because the anticipation and the build is the best part of sex anyway.
Go ahead, Brian.
So I had a question. My wife and I love to go on vacation and love to have great sex when we're on vacation, but we would both be mortified if somebody from the TSA went through our bag and pulled out a bunch of sex toys. Is there an easy way to have this happen while you're on vacation that's not super expensive?
Oh, to bring sex toys
or like, could you have access? Like, do you have any sex toy recommendations that
maybe we could pick it up in most
major cities?
Okay, first of all, I have so many recommendations for sex toys. But first of all, there's nothing illegal about bringing sex toys. So even if the TSA finds it, they'll have a little chuckle. But, you know, you're not doing anything wrong. Put it back in your bag. If you're still using a toy with a vibrator in it, you can remove it with a battery in it, you know, remove the battery before you travel so it doesn't, like, start going off. But here's the thing about sex toys is that
many of them now
are rechargeable. I love – WeVibe is a brand that I absolutely love. Their toys, they're waterproof, rechargeable. They have a lot of different vibration patterns. They make the number one couples toy that it's great for, like, a vacation sex with your partner because you can use this toy together. And you can use it while you're wearing sex or while you're having sex. You can wear it while you're having sex. It's like, go to my website, sexwithemily.com, and I have, like, all my favorite toys on there. But I think toys don't even look like toys these days. And who cares for the TSA things?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you know what I mean?
But my wife would be absolutely mortified. She's kind of fiercely private, which is why she's going to love me talking about this on the radio right now.
I totally get it.
Maybe you need to be in charge of packing the sex toys.
I guess.
Yes. Pack them, wrap them in a sock. I mean, they look like little, like, another one I love is they, really, the WeVibe Touch I love, too. It's like, this looks like a little, you know, the palm of your hand. It fits with the palm of your hand. Amazing vibrator. It's purple. It's silicone. No one would even know what it is. charger separately in your bag, your other bag.
All right. And one more question. It's not for me. I swear to God. It's for my friend. Are there great positions that you would recommend for conception?
Oh, that's a good question.
That is a great question. You know, for conception, there's all these, you know, there's a lot of different, reasoning behind this. But they say that, you know, with the woman on bottom is the best way to do it. But I think that the most important thing is if you're trying to conceive, to not so much focus on, like, the positions, but to focus on, like, lessening your anxiety and your stress and your worry and, like, limiting, you know, like, your partner limiting their drug and alcohol intake and, you know, limiting a lot of things in your life that could bring on stress so you won't conceive. I mean, so that it'll prevent you from conceiving.
So tell your friend it's not have her stand on her head after you're finished.
No, you don't have to do it. I mean, sure, why, you know, no, really. Like, I just don't want to tell you if they're doing all this crazy stuff and they're going to get pregnant. I'm like, yeah, it's probably because you've been really stressed out about it and not sleeping and, you know.
Well, there's so many tales about that, of, you know, of how to conceive one way better than another, the other. But just your standard missionary.
They went to this acupuncturist, you know. But, I mean, no, there are. I mean, I'm telling you, I've written, I will tell you that because there is, like, no magical way, you know, to get some magic position. But, like, there are certain things. One thing I did write this. You know what? They don't even say it. The truth is, I'm just trying to look at this article that I was just quoting about the same exact question, and it's like.
Well, I think the answer would be when you least expect that it's going to happen.
You know what?
And
yeah,
it does.
I was going to say, do you know what it is? There's really not. I, for some reason, I'm just, can I read all these things too? I thought there was a study of what a while ago, but there wasn't. It's actually, there. It's not really about, it's about the positions. It's not. So forget everything that I'm saying. Just have sex and, be into your partner and lessen your stress, eat healthy, take prenatal vitamins.
It's all good. All right, Dr. Emily Wolfe, you're fantastic. I'd love to have you on again. Sex with Emily is the website, and check it out. And as I said, mucho amor. We love having you here.
So fun. Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Have a good night and rest of the week.
Okay.
And we're going to take a break, and
thank
we'll be back.
You.
And we'll begin the Late Night Late Show wrap-up on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.